Have you ever been daydreaming and wondered how it would feel to win thousands of dollars? I know I have. Well, our next two guests on the Nova Scotia SPCA podcast make those dreams a reality every single week. What a dream job. I am Taylor Hustis, and today I'm joined by two special people from Rafflebox, Elizabeth O'Hanley and Lee Dawson. Elizabeth is a senior marketing specialist at Rafflebox, where she helps us and animal charities across Canada and the U.S. grow their raffle programs through marketing and other outreach. In her personal time, she's an avid TikToker scroller, a major Swiftie, and a community volunteer for the Dartmouth Community Fridge. Her dog, Gus, came from the SPCA in Antigonish, and she also has a cat, Chicky. Lee has been with Rafflebox for 3 years now. He has a background in IT and database administration and is the lead on customer loyalty and retentions. Lee loves cats, especially his kitty Lenny, maritime history, Dartmouth, all things science fiction and fantasy, and he has a little baby girl on the way. Congratulations! Lee says that he can be summed up with one word, nerd, but we think he's a rock star. Now, before we get into the fun, thank you so much for being here with us today, Elizabeth and Lee. Is this your first time on a podcast?
Actually, no, but this is my first time on someone else's podcast.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. How does it feel to be sitting in that chair?
I feel like the pressure is on a little bit more, for sure, but no, it feels great.
Cool. And what about you?
I think this is my first podcast experience.
Ooh.
Yeah. I have radio experience, but not podcasts, not where you have to talk about yourself.
I know.
So it's, here I am.
Here you are. Okay, so we have a little game called Go Fetch, and I think we should kick things off with that. So basically, it's our mini lightning round, and I'm going to ask you a few questions, and we'll learn more about what makes Elizabeth Elizabeth and Lee Lee.
Awesome.
Wow, that's so loud. Okay, number one, who was your first pet?
Trixie, my cat.
Aww.
She was an outdoor cat in the suburbs, so that's not really a thing, but that was my first exposure to cats, was this really kind of vicious cat, but in the house in the suburbs, but I remember her fondly.
Oh, cute.
My first was a cat as well. Growing up, we had a cat named Ginger, and he was a great cat, and he was an outdoor cat in the suburbs as well. But as he got older, he was a pretty feisty guy, so he was always getting into trouble and having to take him to the vet. And he's getting old and deaf, so we had to, you know, keep him inside. And my favorite memory of him was, like, he had never had to use a litter box his whole life.
Right.
So that was a big change for him. And every time he would go to use it, like, in protest, after he was done, he would just kick litter all over the room, make, like, an insane mess. And then just kind of sit there and, like, yell at the litter box for a bit. But he was a great guy.
But he still used it.
Exactly.
That's amazing. He's like, you're lucky I'm using this.
Yeah, exactly.
That sounds very cat-like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, number two. If animals could talk, who would be the rudest?
Ooh, you mean, like, what species would be the rudest?
Oh, my.
I know. It's a toughie.
Maybe angry geese? I don't know. I feel like any species can be angry if you put angry in front of them.
I think geese, you know, I think geese get a bad rap for being angry. You know, they just want to be heard. They just want to be acknowledged. You
know? Sullivan's pond geese are friendly.
They are friendly. They know that they depend on humans for a lot, I suppose. Or at least stop your car and let them cross the street.
Angriest animal.
And you know what? I'm going to say rats.
Ooh,
and the reason
okay.
I say angriest is just because, like, historically, you know, rats, people give them a really hard time, and they do a lot of, you know, rat-like things, but I think if you get to know some of these rats, they'd be pretty friendly.
But that they're angry and defensive when you first come across them?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I would go with rat.
That's
I'll go with rat.
Perfect. And maybe they're just misunderstood.
That's what I feel.
Yeah. Misunderstood species.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Flip side, who would be the nicest?
Oh, cats. Easily.
Labs. Black labs.
No, the nicest?
Cats are not the nicest.
Cats, I know.
No.
Maybe kittens?
No. I think turtles.
You think they're nice?
Yeah, I think turtles
Gus
are nice.
Gus the turtle from the museum?
Yeah.
You think he's nice? I bet he's nice.
I think so.
I think turtles are probably nice.
I think turtles are just like a calm, kind of like friendly presence to have around.
Yeah, I feel that. I always go back to dolphins because I just feel like dolphins are just, they're just playing and having fun.
They're just having fun.
Yeah. They're jumping out of the water. They're showing off.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, that's always mine. Okay, and number three, you are both real champions for pets. So who is your hero? It's
my,
a biggie.
My personal just hero right across, does it have to be?
Oh my gosh, that's a big question.
I know. Mm-hmm. No, it can be whatever.
Oh, my hero is David Bowie.
Oh, do tell us.
Just as far as like, you know, the music that kind of sort of like kickstarted my love of music in the first place. It was like the first musician that I can remember being like totally hooked by. And, you know, he was one of the most creative people who's ever lived, made a giant impact on music and culture, and was also just known to be an incredibly friendly, warm human being. And everyone said that he smelled really nice.
Hey, that's always a plus. Do you have a favorite song?
Heroes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's a goodie.
Oh, yeah. And he's your hero, and it's called Heroes. So yeah. There's obviously, it's meant to be.
That wasn't planned or prepped. That was just the truth.
Mm-hmm. I don't know who my hero is. I don't really think I have a hero, but anytime I say that person's my hero, I feel like it's always someone who's doing something unexpected.
Mm.
So there's this woman who volunteers at the soup kitchen in downtown Dartmouth, and she's probably like 80s or 80s for sure. And I think of someone like her, I'm always like, that's my hero. Like doing something that I hope I can do that when I'm in my 80s. Like those are heroic people.
That's beautiful.
Doing the things the rest of us don't have time to do, but that need to happen anyway.
That's beautiful. And both of those people have helped so many, right? So
true,
I love
heroes.
That. Yeah. Love it. Yeah. Okay. Well, that was Go Fetch. Beware of your ears. Okay, that one was kinder, right?
So
did I.
So I was really prepared for that, but
oh gosh, I do not have the hand-eye coordination for that. But okay, so let's talk about Rafflebox and how you guys help rescue pets. But first, can you tell us a little bit more about your day-to-day activities and how you each got started?
Sure. Do you want me to go first?
Sure.
So I work in the marketing department at Rafflebox. There's a couple of us that do that. And a lot of what we do is sharing with SPCAs and other charities how they can run a raffle. So we work with them to understand how raffle programs can really build up their annual fundraising. And then we also work with charities like your own to figure out how to market your raffles, because everyone's really different and everyone has a different donor base. So just figuring out how to bring in new supporters. And how did I get started? I've been in the marketing field for over 10 years. I've done all kinds of different things, agency, but I've always been like a volunteer and involved with not-for-profit. So whenever I started working at Rafflebox, I feel like it was a really perfect mix of marketing and working directly with not-for-profits and marketing for good. So
lucky to have you.
Yeah. What's your day-to-day?
So I manage our loyalty and retentions team at Rafflebox. So, you know, primarily I manage the accounts for like our long-standing clients and some of our bigger brands, you know, planning out raffle campaigns and, you know, kind of just operating as a liaison for the clients to Rafflebox and anything we can provide. I have an awesome team that I work with, and, you know, we just ensure that clients all across the country are getting that kind of white glove service that that they deserve.
Yeah. Well, you two are seriously like the dream team.
Well, listen.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, I mean
like
that.
Yourself, like you guys, you make it easy. You make our jobs easy.
Oh so. My gosh. Keep the compliments coming. I love it. But okay. So we joined Rafflebox as partners at the height of the pandemic. It is crazy thinking back to that. But we were really lost trying to find a way to fundraise. And we know that everyone was really experiencing such like nervousness and instability about the future. And there weren't any in-person events. We were basically in our busiest time of the year. Animals were still coming into our care, but none were leaving. And we were in full lockdown mode for at least 6 weeks. So we were trying to find a way, basically to find like a way that we could help people that were struggling and find a way to raise money for funds that we crucially need here for the SPCA. So the weekly SPCA weekly 5050 was born with that. So I've always wondered, is that what has really kind of kickstarted other charities to get involved and take part, or have they like shared other motivators?
Yeah, I can speak to that a little bit, Elizabeth, if you'd like. You know, Rafflebox, we incorporated in 2016, like when the co-founders kind of got together and had this idea. You know, a lot of the original concept was based on just making buying a ticket at events easier. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. At a hockey game or whatever, you know, rather than wait for someone to come around and sell you tickets, you know, just scan a QR code and buy your tickets. Now, when COVID kicked off, Rafflebox was kind of really well equipped to step in as a solution there, because so much of our software was already built out. We were kind of ready to go. So groups like yourselves, who, like you said, were suddenly limited to online fundraising, no in-person of any kinds, we kind of just were able to seamlessly fill that gap, right? You know, by cutting out major startup fees and just doing, you know, the heavy lifting on the e-commerce side. That is where plenty of groups started, you know, having to make that decision to pivot to online. And what a lot of these groups found is just, it's just a more convenient way of raffling, right?
Yeah.
Again, you know, having a provider come in and do that heavy lifting, help through licensing, things like that. So a lot of the programs that were established during that pandemic period, they're still going strong today.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the thing that I love about working with Rafflebox is all the different charities that your platform helps. So there's been tens of thousands of dollars, probably even more than that, raised to help firefighters, animals, kids through sports and arts, and more. So what is your favorite part about working with different charitable organizations like the SPCA?
So I guess the best part about working with all these different types of charities like hospitals and SPCAs is that you can actually see the impact that they make. And especially with you folks, like you show online the impact and you show the animals being adopted and you run different events. So it's very easy to see where you're half of the jackpot or where these all these jackpots go. And it's exciting because it's community impact and it's helping people.
Yeah.
You know, what could be better than that?
Yeah, I think, you know, just to piggyback on that, like, for me, I think the best part of my job and Rafflebox just as an entity, you know, is what I touched on before, just being able to be that, you know, provider that kind of can take some of that heavy lifting off of the charities and nonprofits. Like, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but, you know, you guys are incredibly busy and have a million different things on the go, and, you know, coordinating raffles and working with volunteers and licensing and all those different elements, you know, that's a lot of work and it's really time consuming. So for me and Elizabeth and the rest of Rafflebox to feel like we're kind of, you know, even to a small extent, you know, providing a little bit of assistance, it's a great feeling.
Oh gosh, you two are very humble. It is not a small thing. It is a huge thing. And that actually brings me to my next point, is that one of the best things that we found about the weekly 5050 with Rafflebox is that it does take that effort off of our animal care team. Before, when we would do the lotteries in-house, it involved our thrift store and our shelter staff and volunteers. And it would basically, they would have to take time out of their regular duties to try to sell tickets. And fundraising is so, so, so crucial, especially when we don't receive any government funding for our shelters. But when someone has to choose between performing a life-saving surgery or fundraising for that life-saving surgery, they're like, hand me the scalpel. Like, let's get to go. Let's get to work, like right now. So your platform, it processes payments, it counts the tickets, it even chooses the winner. So we just get to do the exciting bits, which is calling and announcing the winner. But have you ever heard any feedback from charities on a fun story of a big lottery winner's reaction when they've won?
I mean, I am lucky enough that I get to hear this like constantly because I work with so many groups that are running like weekly and monthly campaigns. So I think that's like, it's got to be the most enviable role in your job every week, being able to call someone and, you know, truly like change someone's life.
Yeah.
Right? But I would say the number one thing that I hear from people is just like speechlessness. Right? Mm-hmm. They call the winner and there's this feeling of like, are you sure? Like, is this real? And, you know, we could go on and on with like all the stories of, you know, I was able to, you know, pay off my hospital bills or, you know, find care for my parents. funny enough, the one story that really stuck out the most to me, and I think this is probably pretty relatable, is, you know, a young student out west won over $100,000.
Wow.
And it was a couple of weeks, you know, after they graduated from university. And when the group asked them what they were going to do with their money, you know, they just kind of laughed, like, I'm going to pay off my loans right away.
Yeah.
And it just, like, that really resonated, you know what I mean? So that was, that's always been kind of my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, that's wonderful. And also very practical.
That's what I'm saying.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're right. We've seen it all here at the SBCA. So we've had some first-time players win, which is very cool.
Yep.
We've had someone win four times, which is mind-blowing. We've had some people who've donated like partial or sometimes all of the proceeds back to the SBCA, which is unbelievable. But there's been some really heartwarming times where it's been like life-changing, like you said, for the winner, where they've been either trying to save up for school or they've had unexpected expenses pop up. We just know times are really tough right now for everyone. So it's just really, 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 really special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've all been there, right? Where, like, you know, even an extra 50, 100 bucks, like, can make a world of difference.
Oh, absolutely. Whenever I find a loonie on the ground, I'm like, oh my gosh, my day is made. So this is like especially making your day, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's hard to believe we've been running our weekly lottery through Rafflebox since 2020. What? And so we do have some loyal players who started playing almost 4 years ago, and they never miss a week. And then we do have some brand new players who are just now learning about the weekly 50-50. It seems like a lot of charities have been holding weekly or monthly lotteries with you for some time now. So this one's kind of a tough question, but how do you keep things kind of fresh and exciting for lottery participants?
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because as much as you want to keep things fresh, consistency and like repetitiveness is a really big strategy for these lotteries because people want to see the same thing every week. They want to see the same winner announcement every week because they go look for it and you don't, your brain doesn't want to process to try to find something that looks or sounds totally new. So I think keeping it fresh though, as far as making sure people want to stay loyal to your 50-50, just keep sharing the stories of what you're doing with the funds. That's what I love to see from charities, especially when I'm a donor or I'm a volunteer. Like, just being able to actually see what happens with the funds is the biggest thing any charity can do to really differentiate their raffle from like regular lotteries too. Cause like, it's a whole different feeling when you win something like a charity 50-50.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the most challenging aspect of like a raffle like yours is just kind of keeping that momentum up, right?
Yeah.
When you get a new raffle, you know, you send that message out to all your donors and there's a lot of excitement. But as time goes on, you know, the biggest challenge for administrators is just that, right? It's keeping that momentum. So just like Elizabeth said, you know, in my mind, the most critical aspects of that are sharing those winner stories and giving your purchasers this kind of like one-to-one feeling of, okay, I bought a ticket and that purchase directly benefited something with the SPCA or something in my community.
No, absolutely. And that way they're able to see the difference that they're making, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And on that same note, what is the most creative way that you've seen someone promote the Raffle Box Lottery?
I think we can look at the influencer partnership we did with the SPCA. That's always the example I use when anyone asks because, well, mainly because it worked.
Yeah.
Like, we saw really great growth with the jackpot week over week. But we worked with a dogfluencer, so a dog influencer from Halifax who, and you know, we're talking about, his name is Percy Doodle and he has over 30,000 followers, but it doesn't have to be like that either to do something really creative. But we worked with him. He put the link in his bio and he made a pretty simple post and did a pretty simple giveaway, like $100 gift card to his followers. But a lot of those people probably didn't even know it was an option to support the SPCA that way. And lots of people do make weekly, monthly, you know, biannual donations. And they really would rather a chance to play their luck if they knew that was an option. So that was a really great way to just find new people. That keeps your jackpot fresh and growing. And then that helps keep your loyal people fresh because they like to see that the jackpot, oh, it's always over 10,000 now.
Yeah.
Now I'm really not going to forget my tickets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I feel like you're right. with that, it was so exciting because I feel like it helped us to get outside of our supporter bubble that sometimes we can kind of get stuck in, and just introduce us to some brand new people. And that was like the beginning of like our trend to having jackpots that are 10,000 and above for gosh, how many weeks now? It's so exciting.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because you guys are right on the cusp of number 200. We'll have to do something for 200.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Yeah. That was September last year that we did that. So even 6 months after, we were already seeing that week over week growth. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
New people. We love new people.
Love it. It was a great idea. Thank you. Now, you two always make things look really, really effortless, but I'd imagine that there have been some bumps along the way. So what are some of the biggest challenges in running so many lotteries and helping to support so many different charities?
For sure. So I think the biggest challenge that I've seen groups face is the kind of set it and forget it mentality.
Mm.
You know, there's groups out there who see what you're doing, and I think they get this feeling of, you know, Rafflebox is doing so much, you know, we just get the raffle going and kind of away it goes.
Yeah. But
at the end of the day, you know, we can do everything that we can to help, and we have people like Elizabeth who can point you in the right direction, but really, like, the success or failure of any raffle, it kind of comes down to the person who's running the show,
mm-hmm.
right? The level of interest and dedication and time and resources you're spending on it doesn't have to be huge, but there needs to be someone passionate at the other side of the raffle who is really driving it forward.
Yeah.
And again, I think, you know, from our end, it's that education piece of like, okay, we'll get everything you need to get you off the ground and get you going, but at that point, you know, you're kind of at the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, I'd agree with that. Just the set it and forget it mentality, and that there are really small things that you can do to market your raffle, but if you just don't know about them. So yeah, I think the biggest challenge is just seeing all the raffles running and knowing all the little things they could do and probably just don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
So we're always happy to answer any questions. But having that strong raffle administrator is definitely key. And instead of looking at the raffle as like, it is its own fundraiser, and you have to think of it that way, but it's also nice to approach it sometimes like it wraps into everything else you're doing. So like if you're at events or you're doing and you're not looking for a separate donation stream, you're always tying the raffle into it.
Making
an option
point.
Having QR codes talking about it.
And I love that, though, that it's not like a band-aid thing. It's like it's like a tool in your toolbox that you can use, and that can be an Allen wrench, or it can be like a regular wrench.
Exactly.
Yeah, it is up to you. That's about all I know about tools.
That's all you need to know.
We can't talk about the hard stuff without mentioning the sweet stuff. So we recently had you in for a kitten party, and we had the most fun. The kittens were named after the characters on the kids' TV show Arthur, and DW was like, right on, right?
Yeah,
like it was her as a character. But it was just our way, I guess, of thanking you for helping us to raise thousands and change and save lives. So that's got to feel good. I hope it does feel good.
Oh, it was amazing. Mm-hmm.
That was a great thank you. I've never received an invite to a kitten party as a thank you.
After we got that email, we were like sitting down like, is this
jealous. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Awesome.
Yes. But aside from those warm fuzzies, how do you celebrate big milestones or successes within Rafflebox?
Yeah, and I think this was right around like around when you started, right? We hit like the $100 million raised for charities.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we wanted to celebrate, and you know, we did kind of like an old school party boat cruise.
Fun.
But aside from that, like, you know, we're a company that really, you know, we really get along, and you know, we really like to party, I guess. And we have a really great office, you know, downtown. So we try to get as much use out of that as we possibly can. But we're big on celebrating at Rafflebox for sure.
Yeah, like those big, I think we just hit a new milestone as Rafflebox. I'm pretty sure we're about to hit one. So that's whenever, I think earlier you said you've helped charities raise tens of thousands of dollars. Like, what's the official number?
I don't know, but so
it's between 250 and 300. Million
for
us to be
gosh.
Here, me and Elizabeth kind of bailed on like an internal meeting
where we would have found out like the town hall meeting. But I guess like as far as so yeah totally like whenever we have those big wins as a company, we try to get together and make sure we're acknowledging them, and then the little wins, like whenever you see that a raffle like the SPCA that we work with, whenever you see that you hit a new milestone or that you've consistently stayed at a certain number, I feel like we definitely always try to acknowledge that and like not just, okay, let's see how we did it and dig into the data, but just be like, wow, that really worked. And now they're making a bigger jackpot and that's a huge opportunity to keep riding that. So I think we always try to celebrate those and keep a close eye on jackpots so that we can. Yeah.
And we're, you know, really big on recognition and, you know, celebrating each other's success too. Mm-hmm. So we're a very collaborative team. You know, Elizabeth and I are in different departments, but we work together on things all the time. So I think as a company, we do a really good job of recognizing internally, you know, everyone's hard work and dedication to this. So.
That's awesome. I think you guys should rally for like a bring your pet to work day.
We kind of just have an open pet policy.
Yeah. Oh,
Gus
love
came
that.
To the office before. Yeah. And Michael's dog Penny has been to the office.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, there's some animals around there for sure. I think we need an office cat.
Yes.
I do too.
Yeah, I've been saying that for a while.
If not for nothing else, just to deal with like the mice.
Yes, that's why we need an office cat.
But honestly, there's just nothing better than like a wet nose and a wagging tail whenever you're working and you need a little break.
Yep.
Ah, it's the best. Okay. So I know that we have a weekly SPCA 50-50 lottery, but if someone is listening and they are wanting to launch and create their own lottery with Rafflebox, can you share about how they would go about getting started?
Yeah. I mean, if you are completely new to raffling, you know, I always recommend, you know, just go on our website, rafflebox.ca. Look at some of the other live raffles that are happening in your province, get a little bit of inspiration and, you know, there's contact us all over the place. You just give us a little bit of details about, you know, your organization and, you know, what you're looking to fundraise for, that kind of thing. And, you know, within a few hours, you'll be in touch with one of our awesome sales team and they'll kind of guide you through the process. And that's, you know, helping you through the licensing process, onboarding you, you know, with our systems, but also just sharing best practices and how to kind of approach this if you're new to this world.
That's awesome. And then people get to meet you, which is wonderful.
Exactly.
Lucky them. Okay. So I just have to know one final question. Do you have a favorite lottery number or a superstition related to lottery draws? I know I do. I try to make anything equal an 8. Someone told me whenever I was like, whenever I probably was 8 at the time, that 8 was my lucky number, and I've just believed it my whole life.
So it must be true.
Yes.
Honestly, no, because I'm not a big lottery player in general myself, and we can't buy raffle box tickets. And because it uses something called a random number generator, which you would click every week to pick a winner, there's really no need to have a lucky number because there's no way to up your odds other than just buy more tickets.
Mm-hmm. I'm really surprised by Elizabeth's answer there.
Yeah.
I really thought Elizabeth was going to have like one particular number or like time of day that was special.
Ooh.
But I'm kind of with her though. I don't have any like lucky numbers. I think maybe because I have a data background, numbers are just like all kind of like meaningless to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I do love the superstition or this idea. And you guys have probably seen this yourself, this idea like, as if you buy your ticket in those last few minutes, like you wait as long as possible to make your purchase, that somehow changes your odds.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to dispel anyone's, you know, superstitions or anything like that. But without fail, any 50-50, there's always a big uptick right at the very end. So
big uptick in ticket sales.
Yeah.
But they don't necessarily win. For legal reasons, nothing Lee is saying.
At the end of the day, like Elizabeth said, the only thing that you can actually do to change your odds of winning
is
buy more ticket numbers. But there's people just have this superstition that if you wait till the very last moment, that's going to give you better odds of winning.
Yeah.
Which it won't, but at the end of the day, you know, hey,
whatever
you
think. I think if I won a lottery and then I had like that number would then be my lucky number.
Mm.
But I've never won anything big enough to attach it to luck. So never know, waiting for my big win.
Yeah. Oh, I'd never thought about it that you guys couldn't play.
Well, not these, but if we're somewhere and there's like, you know, another kind of thing to play, but I haven't come across one yet. Mm-hmm. In Nova Scotia, it's always a 50-50, and I go up and I'm like, who's running a 50-50? Maybe I can get a ticket. It's us. Yeah. Which is a good thing for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I'm ever at like the grocery store, Canadian Tire, and there's like a booth for like 50-50 tickets for like yes. kids' basketball game or something like that, I'm like, all right, give me all the tickets.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I hope you win someday.
Someday.
Yeah, something someday. But all right, listeners, so let's see if we can make the biggest jackpot in the SBCA Weekly 50-50 history. So head on over to www.sbca5050.com and play our lottery of love. So every Thursday, one lucky winner takes home 50% of the jackpot, and the other 50% helps local pets in need. When you're purchasing tickets, you can even choose which SBCA region you want to support to help local pets, or you can choose to spread the love throughout the entire province to help those most in need. If you haven't done so already, don't forget to subscribe, give us 5 stars, and share so other animal lovers can find us. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or basically any platform that has the word podcast in it. But thank you so much for joining us today, Elizabeth and Lee.
Thanks, Taylor.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Honestly, your hard work is making a real difference for charities and like us, you know what I mean, to be able to reach more supporters. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you to our loyal listeners for joining us today. In case you haven't heard it yet today, you are amazing. Cheers.
Bye, guys.